Now let's pray, adults. Let's stand. Let's raise our hands to heaven real quick. I'll tell you what, as I pray for you, you pray for me. The Lord has a word for you this morning. The Lord has something special for you. I don't know about you, but every time I sit at the table with my parents, I know some good food is going to come to me. Amen. And there's something good for you today. So let's pray. Father, we bless you. Holy Spirit, right now, invade this place. Invade everybody's heart. Invade everybody's mind, Holy Spirit, with your word. Fill everybody's heart, Father God, with the power of your word. Anoint everybody in this place to hear your word, to receive what the Lord has for you this morning. Father, anoint the preacher that he will only speak your word in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God say, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, turn to your Bibles on Revelations real quick. Oh man, this is going to be really fun, let me tell you. Go to Revelations chapter 2. This is going to be probably the only verse you're going to go look in your Bible today. What I want you to do is get a pen and get some paper and just write, because I'm going to give you a lot of verses of the Bible, because with this subject, I want the word to speak to you. I study the Bible, so many verses that unite together. So literally what's going to happen today, I'm going to speak a bunch of verses that are going to unite together. So write them down, and there's so many that I can't turn to all of them. And I only have 40 minutes. So praise the Lord. Turn to your Bibles. Go to Revelation chapter 2. I will be speaking to you these next couple of weeks about the battle for the heart of the church. There is a battle, a great war waging against the church, not just in the United States, but all over the world. And you see it happening. You see it happen day in and day out. And today I want to talk to you about the battle that has been waged against the children of God, and especially the church. That way you have some wisdom and understanding, and you have that knowledge, so that way the enemy will not trick you. The enemy will not pull you, will not deceive you. Amen? And I'm going to talk about three different characters of the Bible. These characters come in the Old Testament, but for some reason the Lord put it in Revelations. And let's read the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. And I'm going to talk about three battles that have been waged against the church. And these are the three characters. Let me read them. Verse 14, it says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality." The first character that we're going to study is going to be Balaam. Now, go to the next verse. Verse 15 says, "Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans." This is the second character. They're called the Nicolaitans, all right? Now, let's go to verse 20. And this is the third character. It says, "Nevertheless," there's the same word, "nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants," say my servants, "into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed by idols." Amen. So those are the three characters that we're going to be studying the next couple of weeks. The first one is Balaam. Actually, the first one that we're going to study today is the Nicolaitans. Say Nicolaitans. Number two is going to be Balaam. And the third one is going to be Jezebel. So if you ever wonder about these characters, well, this is your time to know who they are, what they implicate in the New Testament. And you will learn some things that maybe you do know or maybe you don't know. Today we're going to talk about the Nicolaitans. Amen. You know, people of God, God has called us to work together. You know, I remember a couple of months back, I talked about love. I don't know if you were here or not, the love for the body of Christ. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about that, because the greatest weapon for the church to defeat any battle that comes against us is the greatest weapon is love. That is the greatest weapon. And I can see, especially, you know, in the churches that I've been, the greatest problem invading the church has always been the love for the brethren. There is the enemy has infiltrated so much division. You know, you see it all over the states. So many churches have divided. And then that one divides. Then that one divides. And you have a bunch of people fighting against each other. Church against church. Doctrine against doctrine. You know, you got so many different people around. And a lot of the time, people of God, this happens because why? Well, maybe somebody thinks that they know more than the other. And pride enters. And so they're like, you know what? I know more than him, so I'm going to go open my own church. Sometimes the devil comes and says, you know what? Just go. And they leave. A lot of times, they go because God has sent them. But we need to be able to discern in the spirit when it's of God, when it's of man, and when it's of the devil. But you can see that fighting raging, especially in the United States. It's raging. So many people have left the church because they get offended. Some people leave the church, they just get angry and they don't return. Some people, because somebody maybe judged them, they leave, they never return. Some people leave because they just, I don't know. But this battle is raging. It's raging. So much division in the body of Christ. So much division. The Nicolaitans were a sect. Does anybody know what a sect is, right? It's just a group of people that decided that they know more than the others. And they decided to go and open a new place, I guess. The Nicolaitans come from Nicolai. Nicolai was one of the seven persons that were chosen with Stephen. Do you remember? Does anybody know the story of Stephen? Stephen is the person that got stoned, the first martyr. There were seven people chosen. One of them was Nicolai. The Nicolaitans, they say, you know, comes from Nicolai. So we have here a person that served in the church. A person that served in the church who decided to go against the teaching of the apostles. And they opened their own sect. It wasn't a church, it was a sect. So now you got another little people fighting, you know, against the other one. And the other one fights against the other one. And then what we have is a bunch of fighting between the people of God. Amen? That's who the Nicolaitans were. The Nicolaitans were a people that divide. Let me tell you, God is not a God of division. God is a God of love. The greatest weapon. I really don't want to take a lot of time talking about the Nicolaitans. I want to talk about how we can overcome as a people of God the battle that's waging against us. Let me tell you, and I know a lot of hands will go in here. Who in here will say at one point in their life they were probably angry, close to leave the church? Everybody's like, duh. Like one time I made a question like that, right? And somebody raised their elbow. I was like, what does that mean? Halfway? But you get the point, right? Have you ever, you know, or have you ever even been enticed by somebody else to leave the church? You know that that's not of God? You know that's not of God? God doesn't entice. You can invite, but doesn't entice. Amen? And see, the greatest weapon to defeat this battle is love. Now, if you have a pen and a paper, I'm going to shoot a lot of verses to you. The first one is this. It's in Proverbs 20:28. And this is what the Bible says in Proverbs 28. It says, love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is secure. How do you bring security to a kingdom? According to the Bible says that is what? Love and faithfulness. Love is the greatest weapon that you can have in the kingdom of God. You know, I said this before. Love is an action. It's not a word. A lot of times, you know, we're about to go into Valentine's Day, right? How many have got, you know, their sweetheart a gift already? One person. Way to go, man. Way to go. You know, have you noticed that? Let me talk to the women real quick. Ladies, have you noticed that, you know, when in Valentine's, right? If somebody tells you, I love you. But if they bring you flowers, it's like, and if they throw some candies, forget it. Why? Because you know what? Yeah, the words were great, right? But when the words follow the action, it adds more to it. Yes or no, ladies? If it's true, tell me amen, ladies. You know, that's why my wife reminds me of Valentine 2 months before. Make sure I don't forget. Yeah, since December, brother. Praise God. And it was August when about Christmas. Romans 5:5. This is what the word says. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Is given unto us. The love of God has been shed abroad into us. Are you saved today? Then if you're saved, the love of God should have been shed in you. In other words, you should have love in you. You know, I always hear this, you know, and man, I'm gonna just step on a couple of people real quick. You know, I hear this a lot of times. You know, I hear like, oh, well, Brother Marvin, you know what? I'm not very friendly because that's just the way I am. No, it's not true. It's not true. The love of God has been shed upon us. So the love of God should be in us. If we are people of God, then the love of God should be here. Well, Brother Marvin, I don't know how to love. Yes, you do. Because the love of God is in you. If you're saved. If you're saved, that love has been given to you by God. Now, the love I'm talking about is not a natural love. It's a supernatural love. The love of God is not like full of emotions and just emotional love. That's not the love of God. The love of God is the commands, the royal law of God. And I'm going to go into right now. But you know what? A lot of people say, well, I love you. You know, I always hear this. You know, I teach young people, you know, so you got to understand. Oh, Brother Marvin, I'm in love. And I'm like, oh, no, you're not. No, Brother Marvin, you don't understand. You should see, you should feel what I feel. Yes, I feel what you feel, brother. The love of God goes farther away than emotions. Real love comes from the heart, from inside. And love is filled with actions, not words, not emotions. You know what? I remember one man of God told me this. Look, real love is not filled with honey. And then I said, well, I don't understand what you mean. It's not sticky. I don't know what you mean. Well, you know, Marvin, have you ever gone to somebody that they're just so sticky all the time? Man, they need. That's not real love. Real love doesn't look to themselves. Real love looks to the other people. Amen? Praise God. Now, let me go into this word. You guys ready? In 2 Peter 2:21, this is what the Bible says. It says, I would have been better not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on them. What is the sacred command? Who can tell me what the sacred command is? And what is the second one? Love you. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is this, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the sacred command. And he said that these people got away from that command. They got away from the sacred command. The sacred command was this: love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your brother as your savior or your neighbor. That is the sacred command. What we call in the word of God, the royal law. If you are saved today, the love of God should be invading you all the time. Now, why is it, how is it that the enemy has come into the churches to take away this royal law, this sacred command that Jesus Christ gave us? That's what Jesus said. I leave you a command. Love you. Love. I leave you a command. Love yourself. Love the brother. That was a command that Jesus left. But in this verse, he says clearly that they walked away from it. This is one of the greatest battles waging against the church today. I always said this before, and I'll say it again. The greatest gift in the body of Christ is not preaching, it's not playing instruments, it's not evangelizing, it's not casting out devils, it's not speaking in tongues. The greatest gift to the body of Christ is to love. Because see, look, a gift does not make anybody spiritual. A gift does not renew your mind. When God gives you a gift, when God gave me the gift of preaching halfway, everybody say, when God gave me the gift of preaching full, because God never gives things half, when he gave it to me, you know what? He gave me the gift, and I could speak when I couldn't speak before. But you know what? That didn't change the way I thought. That didn't change my actions. You can have a gift and be great at it, but it doesn't make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is when you learn to walk like Christ did. So the greatest gift is not to preach like I'm doing right now. This is not the greatest gift I can give you. The greatest gift I can give you is to treat you like Jesus treated his disciples. The way Jesus treated people. That is the greatest gift I can give you. And if I can do that, then I become a light for you. And if you can do that for me, then you become a light for me. The problem is that in the church, it's invading this problem. People don't like the brother. The brother doesn't like the sister. The sister doesn't like the other one. So then somebody says, well, I'll open my own church. Now, most of the time, this problem comes because of judging. I want to talk about judging right now for a few minutes. Number one, 1 Corinthians 4:5. This is what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 4:5. It says, therefore, judge nothing. Say, judge nothing. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring both the light, the hidden things of darkness, and reveal the counsel of the heart. Let me tell you, people of God, the only person that can judge me is my God. You know what? The longer you walk in the kingdom of God, the longer you have to know that you cannot listen to whatever everybody says. You can't. The more mature you become in the kingdom of God, the less what people say bother you. Why? Because the more of God you should have. Didn't they crucify the Lord? What did the Lord say out of the cross? Forgive them. And until we get to the point, then we're not there. And if you think you're there, well, let me crucify you real quick and see if you say, I forgive you, Brother Marvin. And I doubt that you'll say that. You'll be like saying, get me off of this cross, brother. It hurts. So the Lord died for us and showed us an example of how to treat even the people who might be throwing stones at you. Now, let me give you another verse. It says, Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Let me tell you, people of God, I love all you guys, but you know what? Only one person makes me stand. And I hope the same person is the one who's making you stand. And his name is Jesus. Jesus is the one that makes you stand. If somebody ever judges you or criticizes you, remember that it doesn't make a difference, because the judgment of man doesn't mean nothing. It's when God tells you something that you should open your ears and say, praise God, yes. Yes, Lord. Because the church has become so sensitive. So sensitive. That whenever they hear something, man, they get upset. There's only one key that shows me the maturity of a Christian. And it's the way they handle themselves under pressure. That'll show you where a Christian man or a woman is at. Now, James 4:1. How do people judge their brothers? James 4:1. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges the law. So you know what, people of God? There is no room for us who are Christians, who love, who have the love shared upon us from God, given to us by God. There is no room for us to have judgment, because it does not make a difference what you say, really. Amen? Amen. Now, what are the consequences of judging? What are the consequences? Romans 2:1. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. You know, people of God, look. People of God, the Bible says a man will reap what they sow. You know what, look. You parents that have kids, let me ask you a question. Maybe those who have more than two kids, right? If you have two kids when they were little and they were fighting, do you just let them fight to the death? I don't know about you, but I remember what my dad used to do. I remember when me and my brother Lester, we were always fighting, love him to death. We will fight over anything. If his egg was bigger than mine, we will fight. If he got a bigger portion of beans, we will fight. If he would steal my toy, double fight. You who are parents, do you let them fight till they're done? Till they... Or do you get involved? Or do you get in the between them? See, that's what God does too. God doesn't let their children fight till there's... till they destroy whatever it is that they have. God gets involved in the middle of it. You should understand that. So you know what? Look, when you judge somebody and the other person returns that with evil, then now you have a conflict. And what happened? God gets in between you guys. So you know what? Just don't judge. So that way you'll be innocent. Because you know what? Nobody that's innocent gets punished. Is that true or not? Whoever's innocent doesn't get punished. Look what it says in Matthew 7:1. It says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Listen to those verses. You know where this verse is at? 7:1? 7:1 is right before 7:2. But 7:2 is the verse that I just told you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together with men given to your bosom. But you know, it doesn't start right there. It starts on 7:1 where it says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same you use it, it will be measured to you too. So you know what? The way you give is the way you receive. The way you give anything is the way you're going to receive it. So you know what, people of God? Judge not. Let me give you one more verse, because in the words of 203, everything is established. Now let's go to Luke 6:37-38. This is what he says. Do not judge. First I went to Romans, now Matthew, now Luke. Look what Luke says. Do not judge, or you will, or he said, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. You know what? I know, I've seen this in the church. Why people do not get blessed? Because see, look, when you have children's parents, look, when children are fighting, do you go to the mall and buy them a gift? Oh, you know what, son? Man, that left hook you gave your sister was just so awesome that I went and bought you a bike. Son, man, oh, man, I think you've been learning from that Xbox, so I'm going to go buy you another fighting game. Oh, I didn't get any laughs there. Praise God. He says, given it given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. There it is. But you see how it started? It started, do not judge. It's like this, people of God. It's like a big tree. And the blessings are hanging on the branches. But the love of God is the trunk. The love of God is the trunk. The way you love is the way you will receive. I know why a lot of people don't receive what God has got for them. Because they're always mad and angry, so they give room to the enemy. It's not that God doesn't want to give them what they're asking for. It's just there's so much anger and division, even in our homes. And we never learn that we have to stop judging and fighting so God can work. You do want to be blessed, right? I know I do. This is one of the greatest reasons prayers not answered. Because the Bible says that if you don't forgive your brother, you will not be forgiven. Judgment is from God. This is what the Bible says in Romans 14, 10, 12. He says, you then, why do you judge your brothers? Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each one of us will give account of himself to God. You know, people of God, we all going to stand before the throne of God. So you know what? And you're going to be judged on everything, all your actions and everything. Then why judge? If I'm going to stand before God and give an account of what I've done, then why do I want to be in this earth judging people? You know what? The one who judges me is God. Say with me, the one who judges me is God. Now, look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 3. He says, I do not even judge myself. Wow. Now, you know what Jesus said? Let me show you what Jesus says. 1 John 8:15. Jesus said, I judge no one. That's what Jesus said. I judge no one. But for some reason, the church will have become a room for judgmentalism. Why? Because we cannot forgive. We cannot forget the sacred command that is love your brother. You can't forget it. You want to be blessed? Live by this. Now, Luke 6:31 says this. It says, do unto others like you like them do unto you. Now, let me elaborate on this real quick. This is something that you should live by, people of God. Let me tell you, you need to live by this principle. Do unto others like you like them do unto you. Do unto others like you like them do unto you. Why is it that maybe some people will say, well, you know what? It's because that person never says hi to me. Well, then, do you go say hi to them? Well, I'm waiting for them to do it first. Do unto others like you like them do unto you. Do you cut in front of people on the expressway? Do unto others like you like them do unto you. Do you like to judge? Do unto others like they're going to do to you. You got to live by this principle, people of God. Let me tell you, you know what? And my wife will tell you. When I go to HEV, even to buy the groceries, when I take the groceries, I get that card. And I return it every time to where it belongs. You know why? You know why? Because there's people working there. And I'm a working man too. Do unto others like you like them do unto you. You want people to give, this says the man will give into your bosom. Then you know what? Then you give. You know the greatest blessing is when you help somebody else. I notice in my life that every time I bless someone, I get blessed so bad, so quick. Do unto others. Say with me, do unto others like you like them do unto you. What is it that you would like people to do to you? If people are mean to you, maybe because you're mean. If people love you, maybe because you love them. But you say, well, Brother Marvin, but there's some people that just, hey, we'll get to that in a minute. Amen? Do unto others like you like them to do unto you. Now, let me give you a few verses. Luke 6:32 says, if you love those who love you, what credit is there? Even sinners love those who love them. You know what? The sinners love their family. I hope you love your family. Sinners love their families. Man, I have been into some people that are lost. Man, they love their mom. Whoa. You know, in the world, and excuse my example, right? You know, in the world, people fight because somebody says something about their mama. Man, they will go to extremes because they love who they love their families. But see, we're the church. We're the church. The love of God has been poured upon us. So our love should be greater than theirs. We should be able to love like the Bible says. Look, it says here, Luke 6:27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Now, that is way different than the world, than the love of the world, correct? It's a higher standard for us. Look, let me give you one more verse so you know it's just not one verse out of the Bible. Luke 6:36, it says, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Look, God is kind. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. You know what? It's so easy to be kind. Look, let me show you real quick. I'll show you how easy it is to be kind. Brother, how are you doing, sir? Man, bless you, my friend. It's good to see you, brother. Well, Brother Marvin, I can't do that. You know what? Look, I've been to what's that place? To SeaWorld. And they train Shamu to go like this. I have a picture of it. So don't tell me you can't do that. It's true. You know, I had this teaching ready. I had these three teachings. I had them ready for like 3 months. But when I went over my notes, and you can see where the notes are at. You know, when I went over my notes, it was like that Shamu kept popping in my mind. If they can train Shamu to say hello, man, you can do it too. Amen? Praise God. So you know what? Be kind. Be kind. That's funny. Now, let me go to the royal law real quick. The royal law. Galatians 5:14 says this. The entire law is summoned in a single command. Say the entire law. In other words, all the requirements of the law are summoned up in a single command. Guess what the command is? Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. You want to fulfill the law? Do you want to say, you know what, God? Hey, I fulfill the law. Praise God. Very simple. Just love. You might say, well, that's one verse. Well, let me give you another one. Romans 13, 9 to 10. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor. Love does no harm. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Because look, let me tell you, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to take their wife. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet their things and their possessions. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill them. And if you love your parents, you're going to honor them. Very simple. So the whole law, everything that God expects you to keep, it's all in one command. Love. Just love. I'll show you a few examples of what it is to love in a couple of minutes. You might say, well, Brother Mario, that's two verses. Good. Let me give you another one. Matthew 7, 12. It says, therefore, whatever you desire for men to do to you, you shall also do to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Look at that. Now we're going to the prophets. Let's go to the prophets. This is the law of the prophets. Fulfilled. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your friends. Love your family. Love everybody. Love the church. You might say, Brother Marbury, that's three verses. Well, I'll give you a fourth. Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these commandments. Everything hangs on these commandments. And it's very simple. Love. Love. Do unto others like you like them do unto you. Now look, if you like to steal, then hey, don't get mad when somebody steals from you. You know? Hey, if you dishonor your parents, don't get upset when they dishonor you. Because you're doing unto others like you like them to do unto you. You know, I got to the point. I'll be, you know, when I'm driving and somebody needs to get in front of me, you know what I do? I let them in. And you know, it never fails that when I'm in a hurry and I need to get in front of somebody, somebody stops. Never fails. Never fails. Do unto others like you like them do unto you. This is one of the greatest keys of leadership. One of the greatest keys. You got to treat people like you want to be treated. Amen? Amen? Now, the royal law is, everything is hanging on this law. Everything. Your blessing is hanging on it too. It's hanging there. Now, you might say, well, Brother Marvin, that's just a few verses on the Bible. Now, okay, let me show you what Paul was teaching to the churches. I'm going to just, she doesn't have these verses, so I'm just going to give them to you. Romans 12, 2. This is what Paul was teaching the Romans. Honor one another above yourself. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. What did he taught the Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 13, 5. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not easily angered. Love conquers all. What was he teaching the Galatians? Serve one another in love. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. What did he teach the Ephesians? Ephesians 4, 2. Be humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. What did he teach the Philippians? do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. What did he teach the Colossians? Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Amen. That was the teaching to all the churches. So let me tell you, are we the church? Yes. Then the same teaching goes to us. Now, let me teach you what Jesus said. Open your ears, because I really want this to change your life. I really do. This is what Jesus says. John 13:35. And I'll wait till that verse comes up there. John 13:35. And I hope I have the right verse. John 13:35. This is what he says. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know what? You want people to see you as a disciple of God, then they need to see the love for the neighbor that you have. If you don't have it, they won't see it. This is Jesus saying, this is the way that people out there are going to see if we really are disciples of God. If you love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor. Love is very unselfish. Love is very unselfish. The love of this world is so selfish. It's all about, it's me, 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 me. How about my feelings? It's all about us. It gets unselfish. But real love looks outward to the people, to those who are hurting. Now, let me show you. I still got about 2 hours. Now, I want you to turn to this one. Go to Romans 12. Now, I'm going to show you what the Bible says, how Christians should act with the other Christians. This is the Bible speaking. As you can tell, all I used was a bunch of Bible verses, right? Praise God. Good. So that way, you know, it's not my opinion. It's God's opinion. Romans 12, and we're going to read a few verses, starting on verse 9. And just bear with me, I'm going to probably jump some words there in between, okay? The first one is, it says, love must be sincere. Love is not hypocritical. Love is sincere. You should love people because you want to love them. And if the love of God is in you, you should love them. Hate what is evil. Let me tell you, love hates what is evil. Real love hates what is evil. But just because we hate what is evil doesn't mean we judge them. Because that's not our job. That's God's job. Please, God knows how to do his work better than us. God, real love hates evil. It clinges to what is good. Real love is attracted to what's good. It's attracted to the good of people. Look what it says. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted. Be respectful. Be kind. What is so hard about being kind? Really, what is it so hard? No, Brother Marvin, I'm rough. I'm a man. Oh. I can be nice. My great-great-great-great grandfather fought in the Civil War, and I get it from him. Honor one another above yourself. Oh, how hard this is. Oh, man. To honor somebody that maybe doesn't know as much as you, who maybe doesn't have as much as you do, to honor that person above yourself. Oh, how hard is that for the church because of their pride? How hard that is to maybe a baby Christian to get him to your level so that way you can see eye to eye and tell him how blessed he is. Never be lacking in zeal, but have spiritual fervor. Be zealous. Love is zealous. Love is just man like God. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Do unto others like you like them do unto you. Practice hospitality. Let me stay there for 1 second. Practice hospitality. Oh, man. When was the last time you invited one of your brothers from the church to your house? When was the last time? True love, real love, practice hospitality. When was the last time? When was the last time you even called somebody just to say hello? Real love practices hospitality. You want to have the love of God? Well, this is what the Bible says, right? It's not me. Real love practices hospitality. Let's continue. Look what it says there. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Let me tell you, if you've been around me long enough, you know that you're going to rejoice with me. But look what the Bible says. It says, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. See, you know what? Paul and Peter had such a discussion over this. Because there were some people being left out of the table of the Lord. Because they were not at their level. They were not spiritual enough. Ooh, say spiritual. Look what the Bible says. It says, do not be proud. So what is it? When people do not want to associate with the Christians in low positions, it's because there's pride. Do not be conceited. Look what it says. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. I'm just reading the Bible, right? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Whoa, now that's a tough one. I don't think even if we try, we can get there. But you know what? You should try. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. It is mine to avenge, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, this is how you treat somebody that you dislike. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. What does that mean? That when you do that, they're going to say, wow, you know what, man, I need to look at this person, man. They got great love because I keep talking bad about him. And look, he just comes back and blesses me. That is the greatest testimony you can give somebody that's lost. The love of God. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with? How do you destroy evil? You don't destroy evil by judgmentalism. You destroy evil by doing good. It's not by, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. If you live by your mean words are going to return to you. Because it's a law, reaping and sowing. That law doesn't just have to do with money. The way you defeat evil is by doing good. Let me show you a picture of God. You guys want to hear this? I want to show you a picture of our Father. It's in the prodigal son. He says that his son came to him and said, I want my inheritance and I'm going to leave. And his father said, okay, here we go, take it. So he left, and what did he do? He went and spent it all in prostitutes. He spent it all in the world. He spent it all. He just destroyed it. Then he, at the end, he's eating with the pigs. He's hungry. He's dirty. He's filthy. Smells. And then he says, wait a second. In my father's house, I can be a servant and I'll have way more than this. So he says he got up and he started going. And this is what the Bible says. It says that his father, a picture of Father God, a picture of the father, of a father, says that he saw him far off. You know what? This person was in no way. Imagine somebody coming, dirty, filthy, smelly, heavy with the world, with everything that happened to him. And he's walking, defeated. And the father sees him far off, far off. And you know what the Bible says? That he ran. The only time you will see in the Bible that they put the father in running. And running. If we are sons of our father, we should be the same. We should be the same. We should run. And then he says that he came to the son because he was ready to be repentful. Father, forgive me. I messed up. I want to be one of your servants. You know what God did? Bring me the best coat. Put a ring in his finger. Kill the fat cow. That's the picture of our father. Of our father. We are to do the same. Now, almost done. Romans 14:1. You know, most of you have been in the church for years. Praise God. Look what the Bible says about those who are grown in the Lord. Mature in the Lord. This is for those who are mature in the Lord. This is what he says. 14:1. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. Why? Because they still don't understand the depths of the word. You're trying to get somebody to do something that they still don't have knowledge of. Let me give you another verse. Romans 15:1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. And not for ourselves. In other words, love is not selfish. Love looks to them. Because they're weak. Amen. Let me go to the parents again. And I don't know, have no experience, but I will very soon. When you have a child, do you just, when he throws up on you, what do? You judge him? When he poops and you got to clean him, what do? You judge him? When he throws the toy back in your head, what do? Right, brother? Why is it that, look, parents, when their kids are starting to walk, and the parents are like, why don't you do that with spiritual children? When you see them, that like, they just like, you should be like. Why don't we do that? Instead of saying, you sinner, and you say you're a Christian. You know, you got to see these principles from our lives. The love of God should be flowing from you. I mean, like, Radiant should be coming out of your heart. You know, God, he made himself into a servant. Philippians 2 says that he made himself lower than the angels. He made himself into a man. He made himself into a man. And then he says that he didn't consider himself equally with God. But he humbled himself and made himself into a servant. And he served, and he said, a servant in obedience until death. And because of that, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Why is this going to happen? Because one man said, I'm going to lower myself to a servant. I might be the king of this universe, but I'm going to teach them servanthood. The more of God you have, if you say that you're a mature Christian, filled with God, you know, that your mind is renewed, and you know what, and you're there, then you know what? Every word that comes out of your mouth, every word that comes out of your mouth should be to build and edify and exhort. You know somebody or how grown up in the faith are by their words. It's like this, when you have a child, how they speak, blah, 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 blah. But when you have a mature person, their conversation are mature. You know by their lips, by their words. If you're judging, angry, gossiping, hateful, you know where you're at in the spirit. But if you say that you got all that and you're there, then every word of your mouth should be like Jesus. Should be like Jesus. That means, that says if you're religious, you should be able to control your mouth. Because that's where judgmentalism comes from. That's where all these things come from. I'm going to finish with this. Go to Romans 16. I want to show you something really, really cool. Romans 16. 16 verse 1. Man, I'm going to read a few verses, but I want you to see this. This is Paul speaking about his brethren. I want you to see this. This is really cool. He says, I commend you to your sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in, I don't know how to pronounce that word, Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. There's Paul talking about Phoebe. Now, go to the next verse. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the church of the Gentiles are grateful to them. How about the next one? Greet also the church that meets at her house. Greet my dear friend Epiphanes, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Antronesis and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are standing among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Amplius, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Greet Apelles. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. And there he goes, there he goes, there he goes, there he goes. That's how he treated his fellow workers. That's how he treated the people of the church. And that's how we should treat each other. Let's stand to our feet.